Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Kama Daf Peches. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Peches Omer Aleph, four lines from the top. We had learned in the Mishnah, Hachoyvel Be'ever Kanani Shel Acherim Chayiv. If somebody injures an Ever Kanani that belongs to someone else, the Tanakam said Yechayiv, and Reb Yehuda held, Ein Lavod and Boishas, there's no Boishas when you injure an Ever Kanani. Ask the Gemara, my time, Rabbi Yehuda, what is the basis for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? It says, the Gemara, I'm a crow, because the Pasuk, when it speaks about the Boishas payment, says, Ki notzo anoshim yachtev ish v'ochev. The Torah speaks about ish v'ochev when it speaks about the Boishas payment. And from here we learn, Mishi yesh lo achva. Someone who is considered your brother. That is where there is a Boishas payment. Yotza, excluded, Eved. When we speak about an Eved, Shein Lo Achva, where he's not considered your brother, and since he's not considered your brother, that's why the halacha is that there is no Chiyuv Boishes. And as Rashi points out, this is based on a Gemara that we've learned before, that the Gemara says, when we speak about Avodim, that we speak about Kananim, they are the Am Hadoim L'Chamor. So since they're compared to Chamor, so they're not considered your brother. Another pshat that the Rishonim point out is that since a regular Jew may not marry a Kanani, so that's why they're not considered our achim. And therefore, as the Pnei Yeshua says, that since he is a Jew and he's mechuyev mitzvahs, but he's not on the same level as every other Jew, a Jew may marry another Jew, but a Jew may not marry a Kanani. That's why he has this status. Rabbanan. And so how did Rabbanan, why did Rabbanan say that Eva Kanani is chayiv and boishes? So as the Gemara, because Rabbanan's opinion is, achav hu b'mitzvahs. Since he's obviously obligated in all the mitzvahs, that's why he has the din of boishes. When a Jew purchases an Eved Kanani, we've learned many times the halacha is the Eved Kanani has to go to the mikvah, and not only must the Eved Kanani go to the mikvah, he has to have a bris, and at that point he has a semi-Jewish status. He's mechuyev b'mitzvahs like an isha. If a Jew kills an Eved Kanani, the halacha is he's chayev misa. Killing an Eved Kanani is considered the same act of murder as the act of murder of a Jew. There is a special halacha which we're going to speak about, that if the owner of the Eved Kanani hits him, there's a special halacha. He's not chayiv misa unless the Eved Kanani dies within 24 hours of when that altercation takes place. But if Eved Kanani survives 24 hours, the Torah says that the owner is not chayiv misa, because ki kaspayhu. Says, and we've now learned our Gemara, the Rabbi Yehuda says, that an Eved Kanani is not considered achiv, for the reasons we gave, and therefore, there's no chayiv boishes. Says the Rambam, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, somebody who injures an Eved Kanani is not chayiv malchus either, because since the pasuk that speaks about hitting a Jew uses the word achicha, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, we just learned he's not considered achicha, and therefore there wouldn't be a chiyuv malchus. The Chachamim, as we just learned, disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, and they hold that an Eved Kanani is considered achicha because achichu b'mitzvahs, as we said a moment ago, is chayiv and since certain mitzvahs, and therefore, according to the Chachamim, the person who would hit an Eved Kanani would be Chayiv Malchus. The Rambam in the Torah, when they quote this halacha, says that if somebody hits somebody else's Eved Kanani, he's Chayiv Malchus. So the question is, the halacha ought to be not just if you hit somebody else's Eved Kanani, is there a Chayiv Malchus? There should be a Chayiv Malchus even if you hit your own Eved Kanani. So the Michas Chinuch says that why is there a difference if somebody hits his own Eved Kanani versus if he hits somebody else's Kanani. So he says, as we said earlier, the Torah obviously treats that when somebody hits an Eved Kanani differently than any other situation. Just like we find that we mentioned a moment ago, there's a din of Yom or Yomayim. It depends how long does the Eved Kanani survive this injury. Similarly, just like there's a halacha regarding how long does the Eved Kanani survive the injury, survive if the owner killed him. Sim says the Meches Chinuch, the Rambam's opinion is that that halacha is not just limited to when he killed him, but that halacha also is relevant to when he injured him, that there's going to be a different halacha when he injured him, that the owner injuring him is not to be treated like anybody else injuring him. And although anybody else who injured him would be Chayiv Malkus, that would not be the halacha of the owner injured him. Ask the Gemara if the Rabbanan have this opinion regarding Eved Kananim, Elamatul Rabbanan, Eved Yekosh L'Malchus, the halacha ought to be that Eved should be able to become a Malchus, a Melech. And the Gemara, we learned in Masechta Yevamos, Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis, says that only somebody whose mother is Jewish could be a Melech, because only he is considered a Chicha. But the way we're learning now, according to Rabbanan, all Eved Kananis are Chicha. Amri, so they said, Ulutamech, Tikshlach Ger, why don't you ask a question regarding a Ger? That L'divrei Hakol, everybody is in agreement that a Ger is a Chicha. And yet, Amakra, but a Ger can't be a king because there's another pasuk. The pasuk says, Toim Tosim Alech Melech Mikerech Av Achecha. And from here we learn, Mimufcha Shebechecha. The only person that could be appointed to be a king is somebody of impeccable Yichus. And a Ger doesn't have that Yichus, and neither does a Eved Kanani. So Rabbi Chanan in the Sefer Kibbutz Ha'aretz wants to understand what would be the halacha if an Eved or a Ger were appointed to be a Melech. How do we understand this halacha of Mufcha Mechecha? Is the halacha that's absolutely essential? And if the person who was appointed is not Mimufcha Mechecha, the entire appointment is disqualified? Or do we say that it's L'chatchila, it should be Mufcha Shebechecha, but if he's not Mufcha Shebechecha, but he was appointed, it would be acceptable. Rashi says that when you have a Ger that can't be a Melech, it's only if his mother is not Jewish. However, or as far as the Brikki Yosef says in explaining Rashi's opinion, that as long as the Ger's mother, as long as this individual's mother is Jewish, he's qualified to be a king. Tosfos seems to disagree. And Tosfos' opinion is that the only one that could be a Melech is somebody whose both parents are Jewish. The Rambam's opinion is that Dayonim, who are appointed to sit on the Bezdin of a Chalitza, have to be miuchasim, that both their father and the mother have to be Yisraelim. According to the opinion of the Rambam, it would seem that certainly, if to be a Dayan by Chalitza, the halacha requires that both parents be Yisraelim, certainly to be a Melech, both parents should have to be Yisraelim. So based on this, asked the Chasam Sofer, that Rechavim b'Shloima, Rechavim, who was the son of Shlomo Melech, yes, his father was Shlomo Melech, who was obviously Jewish, but his mother was non-Jewish. She was Nama Ha'amoinis, so she was a Geiris at best. So how could he have been appointed to be the Melech? So the Chasam Sofer points out that the halacha, that only somebody, as we just learned in the Gemara, who has Yichus, can be a Melech, is based on the pasuk that the Gemara just quoted, Mikerev Achecha, that we learned, Mimufcha Shebechecha. The beginning of that pasuk says, Soim Tosim Alecha Melech. So explains the Chasam Sofer. There are two ways how someone could be appointed a king. Someone could be appointed a king because his father was the king. Or somebody could be appointed the king because they're looking for a king, and this person is identified to be the proper candidate to be the king. Explains the Chasam Sofer. When we're appointing a king because Soim Tosim, as the pasuk that we just read begins, that we're appointing a king as a candidate, the halach is one cannot appoint a king to be a candidate unless, as we just explained, both of his parents, at least certainly according to the opinion of Tosfos, are Yisraelim. But when we're speaking about a person who's becoming king because his father was the king, like Rechavam, who became the king because of he was the son of Shlomo HaMelech, there the halacha does not require that both his parents be Yisraelim. And therefore, Rechavam, even though his mother was Naamah HaMoines, was qualified to be a melech. Ask the Gemara, Elamiata, if that's the case, that they explain that the word Achiv includes the Eved Kanani, ask the Gemara, Ye Eved Kosh Leidus, the halacha ought to be that the Eved could be Kosh Efrei, the Ksiv, Vehine Eid Sheker Hoyt Sheker Onab Achiv. The Torah describes an aid as somebody who is Achiv, as long as it's a brother. So that should be enough that he should be considered a kosher aid. Amu Ula, says Ula, Eidus, even though Eved is called Achiv, Eidus lematza amrit. There's no way Eved could be an aid. Dasya, we learn Xerishova, Eidus to Kavachayma Isha. We learn the Kavachayma from the halach of a woman. My Isha Shirui Lava Kol, when you have a regular Jewish woman that is still with a perfect yichus, is Psulul Eidus, Eved that we discussed earlier in our Shir, Shaina Roy Lava Kol, that the Aloch is that Eved that we learned earlier can marry every Jewish person, and then Shapostle Eidus is certainly Psulul Eidus. So the sheet that quotes the Rosh that asks the question, why don't we bring a raya from a mamzer? A mamzer is ain a royal love of a kol. And a mamzer, we're not allowed to marry a mamzer. And yet a mamzer is koshel edus. So the Shitas quotes the Rosh to say that question could be answered because a mamzer is chai b'chol ha-mitzvahs. So therefore, since he's chai b'chol ha-mitzvahs, even though he can't marry everyone, he may be an aid. Versus Eved, as we've been discussing throughout Ashir, is not Chai B'chol Mitzvahs. But ask the Gemara, how can we prove the halacha of Eved being kosher for Eidus from a Isha? Mal Ishish came with Lamila. A woman doesn't have a bris mila. Taima, whereas the halacha is Shiroi Lamila. So I saw the Rishonim discuss, when we say a woman is not Roi Lamila, what is the factor that we take in consideration? Is it that we don't make a bris mila on a woman? Or is it the fact, as we learned in Masech the Kedushin, that a woman is not mechuyiv b'mila, and the woman doesn't, even if a woman has a son, she doesn't have an obligation to make a bris mila for a son. So Rabbeinu Yeshaya says that a woman, what the Gemara means here is that a woman is not in the bris mila, even though obviously a woman can't have a bris mila, but the fact that a woman doesn't have to have hatofas dam bris, that we don't have to go through any procedure, that is a proof that a woman is different than an eved. And Rabbi Chaim Brisker explains that there's a chilek, there's a difference between mila and hatofas dam bris. Even though we never find Hatavas dam bris by a woman, but the question is, what is pshat, says Rav Chaim Brisker, that there's no hatavas dam bris by a woman? Is pshat that a woman is not part of the mitzvah bris mila in any way? And since she's not part of the bris mila in any way, so even hatavas dam bris is not required? Or is a woman considered like she already had a bris? A women are on the category as if they already had a bris. From our Gemara, it seems that women are not included in the mitzvah. Because if the pshat with women is that a woman is on the level, on the madrega, as if she already had a bris mila, so then the halacha ought to be, what's the Gemara saying, malu women that don't have a bris mila? You know why they don't have a bris mila? Because they're already there. It must be that women are exempt. And therefore we can't, the Gemara is saying, suggest that we should learn the halacha of an evet from a woman. Says the Gemara, katan yichiyach, sheyesh to b'mila. We do mila on a katan, and yet he's pasul edus, because the Tayag Daisha, when it speaks about edus, says v'omdu shnei ha'anoshim, both men, the edim have to be adults. Says the Gemara, mal katan, sheyna ha'ena b'mitzvahs. A katan is not chai b'mitzvahs. Time b'evid versus when we speak about an evid, she b'mitzvahs, that it's some mitzvahs he's obligated to. Of that ishtachich, says the Gemara, we'll go back to women. She yeshta b'mitzvahs. There are mitzvahs that certainly women are obligated in, and yet, psulul edus. It says the Gemara, v'chazza edain, we go back and forth, and lo rizeh k'rizeh, v'lo rizeh k'rizeh, the woman is not the same as a cotton. The woman has the chumrah that she has mitzvahs. A cotton doesn't have mitzvahs. On the other hand, lo rizeh k'rizeh, a cotton has mila, a woman doesn't. But what is a tzara shavish ben? What is the common denominator? She'enim b'kol mitzvahs, that not all mitzvahs apply to them. And psum lahayin, and they're disqualified to be edim. Says the Gemara, therefore, afani avi esa eved, so too will be the halacha and the eved, since ain b'kol mitzvahs, he's not obligated to do all mitzvahs, that's why he's pasul lahayin. The Magen Avraham and Simon Menvav Sivkot and Tess quotes the Bach. The halacha is that every morning, of course, we say the Birchas HaShachar, and we say the Bracha Mata Asurim before we make the Bracha of Zoyke Kfufim. Says the Bach that if by accident you said Zoyke Kfufim before Mater Asurim, you can't say Mater Asurim anymore, because included in Zoyke Kfufim is certainly that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is the Mater Asurim. So he says, the same thing ought to be, if somebody said Shlo Yusani Ishop, then he certainly should no longer be able to say Shlo Yusani Oved, because a woman is a higher level in Klal Yisrael than Eved. So once we said Shlo Yusani Isha, that certainly includes the Shlo Yusani Oved. Says, asks Rabbi Akiva Eiger on the Magen Avraham, in our Gemara we just learned that in a way, an Eved is more than an Isha, because an Eved we're learning is Mechuyev in Mitzvahs Mila. And then Isha is not in the Mitzvahs Mila. So saying that an Eved, when you say Shlo Yusani Isha, you certainly included Shlo Yusani Oved, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, is not that obvious to him. Says the Gemara, but Malat Tzara Shavish Shebehem, when we speak about the common denominator, Shein Nikra Ish, the cotton is not an Ish, and the Isha is not an Ish. And the requirement to be a aid, as we quoted a moment ago, the Pasuk says, V'omdu Shnei HaNoshim, Taimer Be'Eved, versus when we speak an Eved, Shu Ish, that he is called Anish. Ella, says the Gemara, Teisi Migazlan. The way we learned that Eved is potter from, can't be an A, we'll learn from a Gazel. If a Gazlan, somebody unfortunately is a Gazlan, is allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael, but the halacha still is that he can't say Edis, as the Tarek Dosha says, Atoshes Yotchem Rosha Lies Oed Chamas, that somebody who's a Gazlan can't be an Eid. So certainly, a Eved Kanani who can't, as we've been describing, marry into Klal Yisrael, certainly the halacha should be that he can't say Eidus. But ask the Gemara, how can we learn the halacha of a Eved Kanani from a Gazlan? Ma'al Gazlan shekei masav garmalo. It's what he did that caused him disqualification. Taima be'Eved shei masav garmalo. Says the Gemara, correct. El Pesi, the way we know that an Eved is disqualified, we learn it out of a common denominator of Megazlan Mechad Mehanach. That if we look at each one individually, the Eved is not a perfect comparison, but we combine them, we'll say like this. If we'll say a Gazlan, so we'll say, well, Gazlan made himself, is his action disqualified him. So we'll ring arrive from Isha V'Kotten that it wasn't their action that disqualified them. On the other hand, we'll say by Isha V'Kotten, they're not Anoshim. So we'll bring a Raya from a Gazlan. And therefore, between the Gazlan and one of the others that we've been discussing, That's how we know an Eved is disqualified. Gemara brings a different source how we know an Eved Kanani is disqualified from being an aid. Ma'abrei de Ravina Amar, Amar Kro Layumsa Ovois Abonim. Layumsa Api Ovish Elam Chayes Bonim. When we have a situation where there is no yichus between the father and the sons, that's why the Eved is not, Eved doesn't have that yichus. Since the Eved doesn't have this yichus, that's why he's disqualified. And the way I saw that the Taras Chaim elaborates on explaining this Gemara, he says that a very big part of learning Hilchas Eidus is we discuss relatives. An Eved who doesn't have yichus doesn't have relatives. And having relatives is an essential part of being able to be an aid. Disakadatach, says the Gemara, if we're going to say, Kedamrinan, Layum Sa'ovas Abonim, that all the Torah is teaching us is to aid the Sponim, that we can't use a child's testimony against his father, so then it would be adequate, Licht of Kral, Layum Sa'ovas Abnehem, my Bonim. Why, instead of saying B'nehem, does the Torah use the word Stam, Bonim? Shmaminad, Layum Sa'api, Ovishen Lem Chayis Bonim. El Me'ata, continues the Gemara, the Pasuk also says, Ubonim lo yumsa al ovois. What do I learn from that pasuk? Hachinam lo yumsu api bonim she'elam chayis ovis. Are we going to say that if there's somebody who doesn't have a connection to his father, he can't be an aid? So that means we look at a ger, as we've often discussed in our shiurim. Ger shin is gayer, kekotn shenoyladami. So according to that, a ger who isn't halachically connected to his father, will he be possible to aid us? Amri, they answer, Hachi Hashta. We can't compare the Ger to the Eved. Because Ger, Ne'ed Ein Lechayis Lamala. Indeed, the Ger's father is not halachically considered his Ger. However, Lamata, the Ger's children, the children the Ger has after he becomes a Ger, halachically are his full-fledged children. Whereas Eved, Ein Lechayis Loi Lamala V'loi Lamata. This Akadatach, says the Gemara, if you're going to want to explain, then when the Torah says, Ubonim loyum sal ovis, the Torah is coming to teach us, ger posel edis, that not only is an ever kanani posel edis, but even a ger is posel edis, so then licht of kro, loyum sa ovis abeneim, and we'll chadamrinin, loyum sa beedis bonim, that we would learn that it would be enough to learn loyum sa ovis beedis beneim, that children can't say edis, that we can learn from these two halachas, that we'll learn the halacha that relatives are possible, vidach, and the other halacha we'll learn, and we also learn that a ger who is not halachically connected to his father is possible for edis. Ve'evid nafgalei, and then the disqualification of an evid we'll learn from kavachayim miger. If we speak about a ger whose issue of yichus is only vis-a-vis his father, vis-a-vis his children, the children that are born to a ger after he becomes a ger are his full-fledged children. Yet we're going to say, this Evid, not his children nor his father are considered connected to him. How must we understand the pasuk? Mid the kasher chmal yumsa ovas abonim, the mashma shelo yumsa pi ovish elam chayis bonim, avodim who don't have their children connected to them. Shmamino, the Torah is trying to teach us that only the eved she'ein loy chayis loy lamal of loy lamata, that he doesn't have a yichus in either direction. Who the pasul aidus? He's the individual that's possible to be an aid. Avoger. When we speak about a ger, kivin de yesh lechayis lamata, his children are considered his children, even though his father is not considered connected to him. The ger is koshal edis. V'chi teima, ask the Gemara, if that we're learning the pasuk is only coming to teach us that a relative is posel edis and an eved is posel edis. Look to Rachmana uvanam lo yimsa al aviseim lomi li dekos Rachmana uvanam lo yimsa al avis mashma. It doesn't come. Shalom, Salpi, Bonim, Shalom, Chayes, Ovis. Isn't the Torah says isn't come to teach us that children who don't have a connection to the father, a ger, is disqualified. Says the Gemara, that's not what the reason, that's not why the Torah said this. I did the Salayum Sa'avis Albanim. Since the Torah Salayum Sa'avis Albanim, which is the halacha about an Eved, Kosov Nami, and the halacha of a Kariv, that's why we also use similar wording, Uvanim Loyum Sa'avis, even though the Torah could have said the wording differently. We learned in the Mishnah, Cher Shait V'Katan B'Gyasin Ra. The Cher Shait V'Katan, getting into altercation with them is bad. Because if you damage them, you will be held responsible. But if they damage you, they won't be held responsible. And then the Mishnah spoke about an Eved and Isha and said, if somebody injured them, he'll be chayiv. If they injure someone else, they'll be potter. But taught us the Mishnah that if the woman gets divorced and now she has her own funds, or the Eved gets freed and now he has his own funds, then they'll be ultimately chayiv. Says the Gemara, imed Rav Shmuel bar Abba Hagroina, having a similar Abba. The mother of Rav Shmuel bar Abba from the city Hagroina was married to Rav Abba. And while she was married to her husband, Kristoftinil and Nechsei, she had Nechsei Melug. Nechsei Melug are, as we know, when a couple gets married, there are two types of assets that the wife brings into the marriage. One are Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel. Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel are assets, as the name implies. Tzoyim Barzel, they're solid. We evaluate their value, we assess their value, and when the marriage ends, that is the amount that the woman is entitled to. Nechsei Melug are assets that, as we're going to be discussing extensively in our shurim, really still belong to the wife. They're the husband's, that he has the right to eat the peiros of those assets as long as they are married. So says the Gemara, this woman had Nechsei Melug, and the halacha is that when a couple is married, if the wife predeceases the husband, the halacha is that her assets are inherited by her husband. She wanted that her Nechsei Melug should go to her son. So what she did was, Kisaftinel and Nechsei Rav Shmuel bar Abba Bara, she wrote over those assets to her son Rav Shmuel bar Abba and busted the Shiva. And now when she passed away before her husband, Azar Rav Shmuel bar Abba Kamed Rav Yimriya, Ukme bin Nechsei, he brought this document and they said, well, this document proves that this is, that these assets are yours. Also Rav Abba. So Rav Abba, this woman's husband, went, Varmala Milsa Kamed Rav Oishia, sent over this episode to Rav Oishia, Vaza Rav Oishia Varmar Kamed Rav Yehuda, Amalei Hakha Mishmul, Haisha Shemacha Ben Nechsi Melug, if a woman sells off her Nechsi Melug, B'chai Bala, as long as her husband was, as long as they were married, her husband was alive, or Mesa, and then she dies, the halacha is, Habal Moitz Miyara Lekuchas. What that means is, that since the husband has the right to be the yoirish of her husband, of his wife, included in that right is that she can't give those assets or sell those assets to someone else. Says the Gemara, Amru Kamed Rav Yimri Ba'aba. So now they came back to Rav Yimri Ba'aba and they said what was just taught. Amalu, he said, Dana Masnisi Adana. All I know is what we learned in a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, the Tanan, HaKaisu Nechassel of Noi. The Mishnah Masechta Baba Basra Daf Kuf Lamed Vova Man Aleph teaches us that somebody writes over his assets to his son, and he writes, Mehayoyim Lacha Moisai. So we need to analyze this statement. On one hand, he wrote Mehayoyim. And the other hand, he wrote that it should only be Lacha Moisai. So the halacha is, you know, the father wanted the son to have those assets. And what the father really meant to do was, as this is the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, his father wanted that these assets should indeed become the property of the son. On the other hand, the father wanted that the peiros of these assets should remain his until he, as long as he's alive. So the halacha says the Mishnah is, Haben eni yochel lehem mekor. The son can't sell those assets. they're still in the father's control for the kinyan peiris. And have any yochel limkar, the father can't sell those assets. They were already written over to the son. Machor av, if the father did sell those assets, meschurim at shiyomis, they're sold until the father passes away. That far, the sale is valid. Machra ben, on the other hand, if the son sells those assets, ein lekeach, the son has the buyer of those assets from the son has no right to those assets at shiyomis av until the father passes away. However, kimayis av, when the father does pass away, mir isla lekeach. At that point, the buyer who bought those assets from the son will be the owner of those assets. Vafagav, the Mesa ben Bechaya Av, even though the son predeceased the father, the loy also lidea ben, that the son never had those assets because the father is his Yairish. Says the Gemara, before Abba makes his point, the Gemara says, Kirshim ben Lakish. The Rishim ben Lakish explains in that Mishnah, Dama loyshna Mesa ben Bechaya Av, whether the son predeceased the father, the loy osla de the ben, so the son never had his hand on these assets. The loy shna meis abachaya ben, or the father predeceased the son, the osla de ben, kana lekayach. Under all circumstances, the lekayach becomes the owner of those assets. Ditmar, the Gemara teaches us that when the Mishnah says, ein le lekayach, if the son sold the assets, that the halacha of the Mishnah says is if the son sold those assets while the father was alive, or meis haben b'chayav and he predeceases his father, Rabbi Yochanan Amar loy kana lekeach, it doesn't become the property of the buyer. Shlok shama kana lekeach, it does, and the Gemara explains this machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan Amar loy kana lekeach. That if the son sold it, it doesn't become the purchaser's assets until the father dies. Means, when the father does die, isla lekeach. Why? That's the loy meis haben b'chaya av. Only because the son did not predecease the father. The osu l'day haben, when the father dies, these assets become his, and now since he sold it, they become the person becomes the property of the person who purchased it from him. Ava mesa ben b'chayav. If the son were to die before the father, the loy osla de ben, so the son never got ownership of these assets. Kimayis av. Even when the father dies, nami lesa lekeach. Why says the Gemara? What is the basis of Rabbi Yochanan's opinion? Because the kesaver. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is kinyan peiris. As we said earlier, that as long as the father is still alive, he has a kinyan peiris. He has the right to the peiris of these assets. And Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that kinyan peiris is kinyan haguftami. The person who has the ownership of the peiris is considered the true owner of this asset. And if that's the case, since that's the case, the chizovin, so when the son sold it, lavdi deizavin, he sold something that's not his. And the Rashbam explains what's the svara behind kinyan haperis, kinyan aguf, because what's the point of having an asset? The point of having an asset is to be able to join the peiris. Since the point of the is to enjoy the peiris, so the one who has the peiris is the true owner. Whereas, continues the Gemara, Rish Lakish Amar, Kana Lekeach, that even if the father died after the son, it becomes the property of the one who purchased it from the son. Kiktanim Esnisin Mocha Ben Ein Lekeach At Shem Samav. We learned in the Mishnah that if the son sold it till the father died, the purchaser from the son can't have benefit from these assets. What does that mean? As soon as the father dies, the person who purchased it for him becomes the owner of this. And loishna doesn't make a difference. The ben, that the son had it because he died after his father, that the father died before him. Even if the son never had this actual a possession of these assets, why? Because says the Gemara, obviously the opinion of Rish Lakish is that Kinyan Peiris, just because the father is enjoying the Peiris, doesn't mean it's his. And therefore, so Kikazovin, when the son sold the asset, Kikazovin, the day Kazovin. So the Machlaikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, the way Rav Shimon Shkop explains, is that we look at something in the long term or the short term. Rav Yochanan's opinion is that the short term is the way we look at it. And the short term, the father has the kinyan apeiris, and therefore he's considered the owner. Whereas Rish Lakish's opinion is, we look at the long term. And the long term, these assets become his. That's why it's considered the property of the sons. The Sefer Teres Yeshua explains this Gemara al Pidrush. He says, Kinyan HaPeris represents Olam Hazeh, as we say every morning, Oichel Periseim B'Olam Hazeh. So Rish Lakish, he explains, we know, started off his career as being a Gazlan. Then he became about Tshuva. So Rish Lakish's opinion is that Kinyan Peris, the worldly benefit, I recognize that this world and anything that we have in this world, said Rish Lakish, is not what's real. What's real is the next world. Rabbi Yochanan, who never enjoyed Olam Hazeh, Rabbi Yochanan never understood is what Olam Hazeh. What is Olam Hazeh to him? It's not Gashmius. Olam Hazeh is the stepping stone how we get to Olam Hazeh, to Olam Haba. Because he didn't look at Kinyan HaPeiris in a Gashmia sense. That's what he said, Kinyan HaPeiris, where in this world, the Peiris of Olam Hazeh, in Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, aren't Gashmias. The Peiris of Olam Hazeh are mitzvahs, and Maisim Toivim, and Talmud Torah. That's what's Kinyan HaGof. Says the Gemara, Vanan Hashtan, how do we paskin? Says the Gemara, Bein Rabbi Yimri Ba'aba or Bein Rabbi Yehuda, both of them are of the opinion, Krish Lakish Svirle. They're both of the opinion that Kinyan and Peiris is Enika Kinyan Agath. And now, after all of this background, we could understand how Rabbi Yimri Ba'aba could prove in the story of Shmuel Ba'aba, when his mother wrote the assets over to her son, that they become his, even though she died before her father, before her husband. Come, Rabbi Yimri Abba. This Akadatach, if we're going to say Kinyan Peiris Kinyan Aguf Dami, Kimayis Av, if the father died, the Mayis Aben Bechaya Av, that the son predeceased the father, Amayis Lelekeach. Why does the Lekeach get those assets? Because of an I, Lav the Dukkas of him. Because when the son sold those assets, he sold something that doesn't belong to him. El Lav Shmamina. From here we see that the Mishnah is teaching us that Kinyan Peiris lavka Kinyan Aguf Dami. And the one that has the Kinyan Aguf is the one that has the real ownership. And therefore, when she wrote over the Peiris to her son, the father who had the Guf that wrote over the assets to her son, even though the father had Kinyan Peiris, like Rav Shimon Rish Lakish just taught us, and Rimei Ba'ab is saying that's what the Mishnah is teaching us, the Kinyan Peiris doesn't count. Says the Gemara, Echziru al-Kameid Rav Yimriya. So they told Rav Yehuda what Rav Yimriya said. Amal ha-hacha mishmul, ein adoy mila mishmaseinu. The two cases are not similar. My Tama, says the Gemara, what was Shmuel's explanation? Am Rav Yosef, bishlam itani ibcha, if the Tana would have told us that kos nechosev la'aviv, where somebody, a son, writes his assets to the father, and he writes that after he passes away, these assets should become his father's. And then the father sold off those assets while the son was alive. There, if Rish Lakish would tell us that if the father predeceases the son, there's still the owner, the person who purchased it from the father, it would be a sale. Ikka l'mishmanei, that would be a great proof, the Kinyan Peiris Lavka Kinyan Aguf Dami.
However, says the Gemara, El Hashtu Tani, now that the Mishnah speaks about a Kaisel Lachnas of Benoi. So the son is different because the son is Bishum, the Benoi Yairul Yashahu. The son is anyway going to get his hands on these assets. And therefore, we can't bring a Raya by Kinyan Peres, Kinyan Aguf, or not, because the son was going to be the Yairish. But the case of Rishmu Ba'aba, that the husband has a Kinyan Peres, and the husband is going to be the Yairish, cannot be compared. Amalei Abaya, Ota Bara Yaris Abba, Abba Yaris Bara. What are you saying that if it would have been that the son wrote it to the father, I would understand? Because the father is a Yairish of the son. Says the Gemara, the son is a Yairish of the father. Ella, says the Gemara, why do we explain it this way? Why did he write his assets to his father? Lavruch l'nechsem b'breikasi. He wants to avoid his son getting his assets. He wants his father to get the assets. Hachanami, what does he want to accomplish? Lavruch l'nechsem b'breikasi. He wanted this son, she wanted that this son should get the assets vis-a-vis the other sons. Ella Ema, Ella Mai, what a Shmuel. So therefore, your point is not well taken. So what is the reason why it's not the same? So Takanas Usha, and now the Gemara introduces Takanas Usha, that we know that Sanhedrin went sent into Golis, and one of the places that they were sent was to Usha. And while they were in Usha, they instituted a number of takonis. If a woman sells off from her nichsi milug while her husband was alive, and then she passes away, what does that come to teach us? That once the husband is considered the yairish, that, and we don't want that a husband should have a situation where a husband could know that he's supposed to be the yairish of his wife's assets, and the wife could then always sell them off and prevent him from getting those assets. Because of that, in Usha, they instituted that if she sells those assets and then she dies before the husband, the sale is completely voided. And it becomes the property of the husband, not of the lekuchas. So, and that is to preserve the proper atmosphere of the marriage. I saw not just it is to preserve the proper atmosphere of the marriage, but I saw the sheet that quotes Rishonim that says that the reason they put this in place was because a woman will always try to not have her husband being a Yairish if she has her own children. And in order to keep intact the rule that a husband is the Yairish of the wife, so therefore they made a special rule that the Kinyan HaPeiros that the husband has is considered Kinyan HaGuf. But that's a special rule here, and therefore we can't compare it to the case that we spoke about with the son and the son and the father. But going back to our Gemara, if that's indeed the case, the mother who wrote the assets to the son in order to avoid the husband being able to inherit those assets, Usha's rule nullifies that statement.